Who are the Hot Sardines?
The Hot Sardines are an 8-piece jazz band playing music inspired by the great eras of early jazz, the 20s and 30s and 40s. And I co-founded the band with a piano player, Evan Palazzo, and I'm Elizabeth Boudreau. And we started this band with the idea that you didn't hear traditional jazz played live all that often anymore. And we think this music brings people together. And we started the band, never really intended to do anything with it beyond, you know, have it as a hobby. And it's been so much fun to see people responding to this music.
If time travel were possible, what performances would you go back in time to see?
I would go back to see early Louis Armstrong. I would go back to see early James Brown. And I would definitely go back and see the Rat Pack at the Sands. Those live recordings are some of the greatest vinyl records I own. And I would definitely time travel my way back to those three.
I was thinking 52nd Street in New York City, December 1945.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Just like spend a night, you know? If they do invent a time machine and you find out about it first, let me know, because we're constantly, that's a game we like to play in the tour van. Sometimes we'll be like, okay, the time machine is invented. Who do you go see first? Because there's so many amazing recordings, or rather so many amazing performances. And when you think about it, now everything probably will show up on YouTube sooner or later, anything that happens now. But there was so little recording of the live experience then that really what we have is so precious. And then you can only dream about what it was like.
I'm really surprised by the success of your band playing music from another time.
But it's something in the music. I really think the music itself brings people together.
What jazz vocalist influenced you the most?
I have some recordings I really wore out when I was a teenager. I loved the Ella Fitzgerald songbook recordings. I love listening to the album The Genius of Ray Charles. I think singing on Frank Sinatra is probably the one I've listened to the most of, just because my mom is a deep Frank Sinatra lover. And they all have such distinct styles.
When Frank Sinatra sang The End of a Love Affair after breaking up with Ava Gardner, you could tell he wasn't faking his emotions.
No, you can't fake that. That's also, I think, one of the things that's so cool about this music is the song connects if the singer is connected to the song. You know, that's the only way any piece of music can touch people, I think, is if the person playing is really connecting with those emotions. That's one of the great ineffable things about music, is your universality in each experience. It's also one of the reasons I think these songs have remained popular over the, you know, 50 or 100 years they've been in existence. There are some emotions in there that keep connecting over and over again because those emotions are universal.
Interestingly, you included in the most recent album a rendition of Robert Palmer's Addicted to Love, which was a mega hit, of course, on MTV back in the 1980s.
I had always thought that it could be heard a little differently. And it was a cool challenge to give ourselves, too, because mostly we cover, you know, like you said, songs from the 30s and sometimes a little earlier and sometimes a little later, but it's really fun to play with a song that's iconic because, you know, a classic is a classic. It kind of doesn't matter what era it's from. If it's become a classic, there's something to it. And so it was fun to reach back to the 80s and mess with one of those tunes.
How do you play the washboard?
Very carefully. First of all, you order a washboard on acehardware.com for $17. Mine is a double handy from the Columbus Washboard Company. And I play it with drum brushes. I really kind of just mess around a bit on the washboard, but there are some people who really and truly get sounds out of washboards that are mind-blowing. I mean, just this humble piece of wood and tin, and they can get such an incredible acoustic experience out of it. It's amazing.
Are you bringing your entire band to your performance in Omaha?
I am definitely bringing the entire band. We're going to be 8 pieces, 3 pieces of brass, stride piano player, Evan, who also leads the band, a tap dancer, a drum, upright bass and me. We were excited to find out right before we went on stage last time we were in Omaha that I think Fred Astaire is from Omaha.
Yes.
And, you know, because we have a tap dancer and we always have, we love incorporating tap into this music, that felt really special. So I think that there'll be a couple of moments of homage to Mr. Astaire when we're on stage in your town.
And some people may not understand the history of jazz music, but it was wide open to this sort of presentation that you guys do. Even in Duke Ellington's band, they had a wide variety of things happening on stage while Duke Ellington was playing at the Cotton Club back in the 20s and 30s.
I'm glad that you see that. Yeah, jazz, you know, a lot of it was experienced live because that's how, in the early days, that's how you experience music. It's great to watch jazz being played, not really hear it being played. So that's something that when Evan and I first met, we were like, yeah, let's think about the performance in front of people of jazz and what had really kind of turned us on in terms of our touchstones and our influences in jazz is people who were, you know, incredible jazz musicians, but were also entertainers.